You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh.
The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Missy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Punt Podcast here at William Hill, and the Premier League is back once again after another international break. The Premier League returns on Saturday with a humdinger, Chelsea against Manchester United. More on that and the rest a little bit later. I'm Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair once again, standing in for Dave Kellner. We've got the regulars on the line, Derek McGovern and Andy Excel. Derek, how often do I have to stand in until it's my podcast?
Well, it's yours, in my eyes. It always has been, to be honest. So the podcast is now the Alex Dunn podcast.
Oh, good. And Mr. Excel, you're on the line as well. How are you? Everything all right?
All good, yeah. All good to go.
Good. Well, we'll waste no time. We'll go straight into Chelsea against Man U. An absolute treat on Saturday lunchtime. We've got Man U coming here off the back of that win against Newcastle. 3-2. What a comeback that was. Will they be able to carry that momentum into this game? Well, we'll find out on Saturday. They'll have to be at their best, though, Andy, because Chelsea so far this season have been absolutely flying. They're 8-11, Chelsea. The draw 11-4. Man United are 15-4. They're not often that big in the Premier League. Well, in my lifetime, to be honest. Is that tempting at all?
Not to me, no. I think the Newcastle comeback is just papering over cracks that haven't gone away. You know, he might well come with his normal park the bus tactics on away from home against one of the top six teams. But, you know, I just look at the team, and I was thinking about it the other night when England were playing. How much better does Rashford look under Southgate than he does under Mourinho? Mm. And then you can list a whole list of other players I've got here that I think have become worse players during his reign. Eric Bailly, Victor Lindelof, Scott McTominay, Valencia, Jones, Smalling, Sanchez and Pogba. That's almost the whole team. I think every one of those players has got worse under his reign. So I think that, you know, when you look back on it with the Newcastle thing, the crowd were basically superb and they won on that game because they should have been throwing things on the pitch at halftime. Probably Mourinho. But, you know, I just think that all the problems are still there, and I think Chelsea are a good price at 8-11.
Okay. 8-11, the home side. Derek, we're going to go to you now for a staunch defence of Jose Mourinho.
Well, say what you like about him. I mean, wherever he's gone, he's taken a guarantee of silverware. But enough about his hairdo. he's yesterday's man. I've been saying it for years. He makes players worse, which, you know, takes some doing, really, for a manager of his experience. Yeah, I looked at the price for Chelsea, 8-11, and I thought initially, yeah, that's on the short side. But the more I looked at it, I thought one other thing, it's also on the short side. I think the absolute certainty is Chelsea here. 15-4, we'll get a few Man United fans hopping up and down if there are any left. But I just couldn't touch it with a barge pole. I noticed Paul Scholes, the biggest critic of United, saying that people have been laughing at them this season. Well, that's quite wrong, really. I've been laughing at them for the last 20 seasons, and that was when they were winning things. Imagine my hilarity this time around. They're absolute certainty, Chelsea here, 8-11. To paraphrase Lee Phelps at a buffet, I'm having plenty of that.
Even with a couple of stats that I've got here as well. The last away win in this fixture was the 5th of May 2013. So that's 11 games with 7 home wins and 4 draws. Chelsea are unbeaten in the last 12 at home. It's Chelsea, isn't it?
Okay, we've got enhanced odds. Hazard to score Chelsea to win out from 7-4 to 2-1, which is likely to be very popular indeed. 9-4 for Chelsea to win to nil. That's out from 19-10. Hazard to score first out from 4s to 9-2. What about Lukaku to score Man U to win? That's out from 7s to 9s. Since leaving Chelsea, he has yet to score at Stamford Bridge. Has bagged against them in the past, but he's looked pretty dismal so far this season, hasn't he, Derek? He's not the player that we saw at the World Cup.
I've never had him down as a player. I just can't see what people see in him. He scored a few goals last season, but come on, you or I playing in one of the top six sides, we scored a few goals. You look at the Chelsea front line. Morata, Giroud, whichever one is playing them. I mean, it's a little known fact that Roman Abramovich now has 4 oil wells in Russia dedicated to paying for misfiring strikers, because no matter who he signed, he just can't seem to get the man. Luckily, they've got Hazard, and you don't really need a striker when you've got him in the team, because you know he's going to pop up with goals. He's just a sensational player. And you're right about Lukaku. In my eyes, he's a marginal step up from Christian Benteke, which isn't saying much, is it?
No. Right, so best bet in the game, would you stick with the outright, Derek?
Yeah, 8-11. I wouldn't necessarily back Chelsea to win 2-0, because United, poor though they've been this season, they have got players who could cop up with a goal, even from a free kick or something. So I just say 8-11. 8-11 is decent enough price for an outright victory.
Okay, and Andy?
Yep, same for me. And Lukaku is just a playground bully.
Okay, 8-11 for Chelsea to beat Manchester United on Saturday lunchtime. Saturday tea time, we've got Huddersfield taking on Liverpool. Huddersfield are 9-1, the draw 4-1, Liverpool are 32-100. There you go. We've got a Liverpool side here who are doing okay in the Premier League, but they've got a fair few injuries to contend with. To be fair, they've had a tough run of games, haven't they, Derek? And this is sort of welcome relief for them. And if they were going to have an injury crisis, this is kind of the game that you'd rather have one in.
Well, yeah, I've heard all this talk about an injury crisis. But, I mean, Van Dijk, I'll put money on the fact that Van Dijk will be playing. Milner will be back. And probably Salah will be back as well. Well, not that they've been away, but they'll be in the team. And then I hear that there was a big worry about Sadio Mane with a broken thumb. Send it in. Chris Trampman played with a broken neck. A broken thumb going to keep you out of the game. Oh, dear. Liverpool, what's the price? 32-100. Come on, Andy. What's that? Basically saying, if you want an under pound on, you'll get £132 back 90 minutes later. And that's exactly what you will do. I remember watching Huddersfield against Liverpool last season at Anfield. They were quite comfortably the worst Premier League side I've seen at Anfield. And I watched Liverpool under Roy Hodgson there. They're absolute certainties. And let me just tell you, just in case you were thinking, well, hang on, Liverpool, they're not playing great at the moment. There's a stat someone sent to me earlier today. Since David Wagner has been at Huddersfield, you wouldn't think that Huddersfield would be inconvenienced by international breaks. Mm. But in the 3 years since Wagner's been there at Huddersfield, they played 11 games immediately after international breaks. Their record is 1 win, 10 defeats. Wow. Of those 10 defeats, they failed to score in 8 of them. I mean, I can't think of a record as bad, not even one by status quo. It's just incredible. What that screams out to me is that Wagner, he knows the limited players he's got at his disposal, and he needs more than anybody to have a few days with them, you know, to get them ready for a Premier League game. He doesn't have that after an international break. I'm amazed that any Huddersfield players are international, by the way, but it seems to be the case. So, yeah, Liverpool will win. And, in fact, I would say Liverpool to win 2-0 is probably the same bet as Liverpool to win.
Okay. And that is because Huddersfield yet to score at home this season, Andy. Yes, they've played the likes of Tottenham and Chelsea in the 4 games they've had in the league so far, but they've also played Palace and Cardiff, and they are yet to score. And you wouldn't have thought that's going to change against the Liverpool side, who all of a sudden defensively look absolutely rock solid, don't they?
Yeah, they've conceded 3 in 8 Premier League games this season, whereas Huddersfield have had 1 clean sheet in the same 8 games. So, you know, it is chalk and cheese, these 2 games. The Huddersfield fan in my office still can staunchly defend them, says they're playing better than their results. Well, that wouldn't be difficult. But both games last season finished 3-0 Liverpool. I could see that happening again this time. Firmino scored in both last season. So repeat the same thing. Firmino anytime and 3-0 is about 14-1, I think. That wouldn't be the worst bet ever. But I'm with Derek as well. Liverpool to nil at 17-20. Because they keep clean sheets and Huddersfield don't score many.
Okay, getting close to even money as well. That's 17-20 on Liverpool to win 2-0. A few stats for you, and they're around corners, which is not something that I normally bet on, but I've found some gems. You'd associate a team who's on top with having plenty of corners. But the last five Liverpool Premier League matches, they've been under 10 corners. And in six of their eight Premier League games this season for Liverpool, they themselves have had under six corners. So if you are trying to manipulate that, Huddersfield are 27-10 to have the most corners in the match, and 13-10 plus two on the handicap. So if you are just looking for a slightly different bet to maintain your enthusiasm through the course of Saturday evening, that could be one for you. Also,
that's
worth
a terrible bet, that 27-10.
Yeah,
Huddersfield to have more corners, and that's a terrible bet.
Why?
They're not going to get out there half.
You don't think?
that's a shocking bet. It should be about 100-1 that price.
What? So you take the threes on that Liverpool have the most corners?
Have more corners than Huddersfield.
But they don't have as many as you'd think.
I know, but they're only playing Huddersfield. Huddersfield never got out there half last season in this game. Right. That's a shocking bet. Sorry, I'm not having that one.
Right, fine. Well, we'll return to this next week when Huddersfield have absolutely annihilated
Liverpool. I know we will.
I don't care what the scoreline is. I'm just playing corners. No. Worth noting as well, Liverpool are between 30 minutes and 60 minutes in the Premier League this season, have won their games by an aggregate of 7-0. Now, there isn't a market you can get on that, but in play, surely, if it's 0-0 after half an hour, get them to score in the next 10, 20 minutes, etc. That's clearly when they come good. But I think all roads lead to Liverpool.
You could well see something go out there as an enhanced odds for 31st minute to half time.
Exactly, yeah.
We do put that out, so.
Yeah, something to consider in play anyway. In the Huddersfield-Liverpool game.
Historically, taking on Barcelona has been a quick route to the poorhouse, but it's been a funny old season in La Liga, and I don't think Sevilla should be the price that they are heading to the Nou Camp this week. It's been a bit of a muddling season thus far for most teams in La Liga. Sevilla currently top the table with 16 points. Barca are second of 15, so this is a top of the table clash. And Sevilla arrive here in much better form than Barcelona, having won their last four straight in La Liga. There's been plenty of goals as well. They put six past Levante, three past Real Madrid, three past Eibar, and a couple past Celta Vigo. Now, in seasons gone by, the time to catch Sevilla has been at home, but their away form has been decent in La Liga this season. And they've only been beaten once away from home. That was by Real Betis, and I think they've got a great chance of taking at least a point from a Barcelona side who come into this with no win in their last four matches in La Liga. They've drawn three of those and lost the other, so I think Sevilla double chance is a huge price here at 21-10, and I'll play that as the European nap this week.
Right, we'll move to Everton. Everton are home to Palace in the only televised game on Sunday in the Premier League. Everton for this one are priced up at 10-11. The draw is 5-2, and Palace are 16-5. Everton so far this season, Andy, have been great when they haven't been on TV, but they are on TV.
I'm not sure whether they're TV shy or camera shy. I don't think many of them are, but yeah, the last seven games between these two teams, three Everton wins and four draws. So it doesn't sound very good for Palace, that, does it? Three of the four draws were score draws, so that's probably where I go again. Back that up as well. Both teams to score has happened in seven of the last eight games at Goodison. So that's 8-11, so that's not the worst either. But I'd be on a score draw at 16-5.
Okay. I can see plenty of goals in this one, though, Derek, as Andy mentioned there. I mean, Everton, for all that they've signed a lot of defenders, none of them appear to be very good.
No, they're great going forward, Everton. Even in that shocking game when they got beat by West Ham that was on the TV, I thought they looked good going forward. They played some tidy football. It was just a final pass that let them down. They seem to be putting that right a little bit. But you're right about both teams to score. I was surprised at how often that has happened in matches between these two sides. In fact, and Palace, what you just said there, Andy, they haven't got a bad record at Goodison since they came up again. Last five visits there, two wins and two draws. Which isn't bad, is it? Most of those matches had both teams to score, so yeah, I can understand why 8-11 is you know would be a decent bet here. The only worry about that is it's one of the managers is Roy Hodgson. I mean, geez, I mean, it's supposed to be an entertainment business, football, but he won't even entertain the idea of entertaining Roy Hodgson. His idea is to defend in numbers, and if a chance of a counter attack arises, ignore it. I just can't have a team managed by him. That said, Everton are short, aren't they? 10-11 Everton. I know they're a different animal at Goodison. You know, they improved by a stone, but that doesn't make them a good team.
it troubles me, this match. I think I'll just play safe on that, both teams to score 8-11.
Well, when you think that it's pretty much, well, it's a similar enough price to Everton outright, I know which of the two I'd rather take.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, that's coming up at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Plenty of enhanced odds, as ever, on that game. If you fancy Richarlison to score, Everton to win, out from 9-4 to 5-2. Or if you are of a Palace persuasion, what about Zaha to score and Palace to win, out from 13-2 to 15-2. But should be an entertaining game on Sunday to look forward to. We've got Monday night football as well, with Arsenal taking on Leicester. Arsenal are priced up at 52-100 here. The draw is 17-5. Leicester are 24-5. And Arsenal, Derek, are absolutely flying. They've now won 9 consecutive games in all competitions. Are they title challengers?
Should I stop speaking while he stops laughing? Because it'll be a while.
Oh, I thought you might like that one, Derek.
When I finish laughing, I'm going to start laughing some more. No, they're not title challengers, of course not. You look at those fixtures. Yeah, it's a great run they've had, because you know, with the first few matches of the season, they lost convincingly, really. Rubbed, in fact. So it is a good comeback from that. But you look at the teams they've met. There are matches, I think probably the odds on in pretty much all those matches. The odds on again here. I wouldn't be backing them, touching with a barge pole. Leicester are a tidy side. And they're a side that I'll back Leicester when they're a decent price. They're not a team you want to be touching at 4-6, 8-11. When they're almost 5-1, as they are here, to beat a side that's beatable, despite this impressive run they've been on, I think it's too big. I really do. 24-5, both teams will score in this game. In fact, I'm thinking they're backing 3 teams to score. I think Leicester will score more. So 24-5, that tells me it's a signal to do 2 things. Wait for me to lump on, then lump on yourselves. And, of course, I'd be grateful if you can lend me a lump first. It's too big, Leicester. Too big.
Both teams to score is 8-13 in the match. Both score no draw is 23-20. And if you do want to go for the big one, Leicester and both teams to score is 13-2. On Monday night. Again, plenty of enhanced odds. It is a your odds game, as they all are in the Premier League, the televised ones. The enhanced odds, what about Lacazette to score, Arsenal to win, out from 5-4 to 11-8, or Lacazette and Vardy both to score, out from 4s to 5s. Andy, you are an Arsenal man. Only one Premier League side has beaten Arsenal at the Emirates this year, and that was Man City, and they have done it a couple of times, and once in the Cup for good measure. But for all that it seemed doom and gloom towards the back end of last season at the Emirates, they don't get beaten there, do they?
No. Excuse me. And yeah, things are going in the right direction, but I'm sort of not as far across as Derek, but that things aren't all right there. There's still problems, there's still weaknesses, and they could be exploited. Looking at this fixture in the past, 27 goals in the last 8 meetings, which tells you there's going to be goals, unsurprisingly. But Arsenal have won 5 of the 8, Leicester have only won 1, which came as a bit of a surprise to me, because I thought Leicester would have, the counter-attacking style would have suited him against Arsenal. So I think Arsenal might win, but I've dug out a couple of things. 3 of the last 6 meetings between these two teams, so Arsenal have come from behind to win. So that's 5-1. Ramsey scored 2 or more, which might be appropriate this week. That's 9-1. And I've got your odds guys to come up with a price for me. For Arsenal to win, there to be over 3.5 goals, but Jamie Vardy to score for Leicester, because he's got 6 in the last 6 against Arsenal. That's 8-1.
Okay.
So that's, I think Arsenal will win, and I think both teams to score is a good price. But I'd be on, if I was putting up a bet here, it'd be the 5-1 Arsenal to win from behind, because I can see him going behind at some point.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. That's Arsenal-Leicester coming up on Monday night then. And it's Leicester for Derek, but Arsenal to make hard work of it for Andy. Let's talk naps then. We'll start with you, Mr. McGovern.
Well, you know, I looked at a few of the fixtures here, and I can't believe how short Wolves are at home to Watford. I thought, I like a look at, you know, I've been talking about Wolves all week. But they've now reached, with the odds compiler that Hills, Southampton territory. They're being overrated. 4-5, they shouldn't be that. I think they'll probably win the game, but I couldn't touch him with that. I'm going to play safe here, because I know that Liverpool will go to Huddersfield, they'll win, and they won't concede. I know that will happen. It's just, it's buying money. So that's what I'm going for. It's not like my normal nap because it's odds on. I think it's 10 to 11, didn't you say?
Or, yeah, 17 to 20, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if there's near as damn it. Yeah, Liverpool to win without conceding.
Okay. What about you, Mr. Excel?
West Ham 3-1 against Tottenham. They've won 6 of the last 12 meetings between the two teams. And when you bear in mind that during that period, West Ham haven't been very good and Tottenham have been on the crest of a wave and are possibly coming off it now, I think 3-1 West Ham's all right.
Okay. Someone's listening to you because it's not threes anymore. 29 to 10 now. Already been nibbled.
Oh, gone.
Look at that.
Worked out, you see.
Exactly. I can't nap in the Huddersfield Liverpool game because Derek's nicked it, but my Huddersfield plus two corners would be a great bet, if only just to wind Derek up.
might laugh more than the Arsenal for the title, that one.
I'll go with Bournemouth to beat Southampton with both teams scoring at 14 to 5. Because every game at the Vitality seemingly has goals. And I quite rate this Bournemouth side, and I don't rate Southampton. So Bournemouth and both teams to score for me on behalf of Mr. Kellner. That is 14 to 5. Right, we're going to hear from Lee Phelps now with a naps update. We've not had one for a while, mainly because Kellner's performance has been absolutely shocking. But we're going to hear from him now. And then off the back of this, it's myself, it's Mr. McGovern, and it is Andy Dunn of The Mirror discussing all things England. So we'll speak to you in a moment.
I was wondering why DK wouldn't allow me to do a naps update, and then I saw his running total. Whew. Minus £65, I think it is. Disastrous. Congratulations to Gav Podzielowski and Al Ross. Last week they both put up winning naps. Portsmouth for Gav at 29-20. Exeter for Al at 21-20. There was no pick for the Euro Boys or Pete Farris because of the international break, and that seems to have done them the world of good. The Euro Boys lead the table with £26 in profit. Pete is on £16.50, and Gav is the only other man in the black with £6.75 profit.
Welcome back then to the Punt Podcast, the FWA section coming up now. It's myself, Alex Dunn, with Derek McGovern, and we're joined on the line by Andy Dunn, who is not my dad, I don't think. We'll just mention.
Oh, I don't know.
I was going to say, we're just mentioning off air, my dad is actually called Andy Dunn. So unless you were in sort of the northeast region about 27 years ago, I think we're okay. Andy.
I think you're safe, mate.
Yeah, fine. And we were also just saying, myself and Derek there, not only does this section of the podcast have a definite Scouse feel to it, it also has a heavily Mirror-orientated feel to it as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. We both work for the Mirror.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, you know.
Steeped in the Mirror.
How long that will last for? Who knows?
We're going to talk about England. We spoke about them a fair bit last week. But since then, they've come out of a cracking performance in Seville, beating Spain 3-2. We'll start with you here, Andy. It was one heck of a display. Are people getting carried away with it, firstly?
Yeah, of course they're getting carried away with it. But if you can't get carried away with scoring three goals in the first half against Spain, you know, when can you get carried away? And I don't buy into all this, you're not going to win games against elite teams like that every time with not having the ball, only had 29% possession that first half, three shots on target, it's not going to happen again. Well, it could happen again, and of course you'll get carried away. You know, for too long, we've almost been waiting to see if the World Cup bubble, you know, can be burst. And a lot of people have just been waiting to say, see, I told you so, we'll never have a better opportunity than we had this summer, etc., etc. But, you know, they just might. It's a young team. You know, a team with an average age of just over 23. Mm. And what's not to be get carried away about?
Yeah, fair enough. Derek, were you suitably carried away the other night?
Come on, Andy. Even you must have scored three times on Spanish soil. I mean, without money changing.
Not in 45 minutes, mate.
In your younger days, maybe. No, I'm not getting carried away. I never have done by England. It's still, no matter how impressive they were, it's still international football and therefore should be banned. I've my campaign to ban international football, I've only got two people have signed it so far. Roy Hodgson and Steve McLaren, they're the only ones. I just can't have it. We had all this when England beat the last decent performance from England. But what was it, 2001, winning in Munich 5-1. And then they went back to being as crap as ever soon after. the same thing will happen.
Because there were a lot of comparisons made, weren't there, Andy, between that Spain display and that Germany game all those years ago. And there are comparisons, aren't there? Is it fair to make them?
Well, I mean, Germany, you know, went on to win the World Cup in 2002, and I guess there's every chance that Spain will go on and win Euro 2020. No, they're a good team. They battered England in the second half. They're a very good team. But, no, not really. Comparisons, that was a qualification game. You know, this was a competitive game, a Nations League game. Whatever you think of it, it has added a little bit of competitiveness to international football. And this team is younger. That's the thing. This team is younger. And these are lads who are improving. Bear in mind, they were without Stones, without Henderson, without Ali, without Lingard. They're a good bunch of lads who really get playing for England. Derek might not like international football, but you know what? These lads really do. They really, really enjoy it. Being around them in Croatia and in Spain and at the World Cup in Russia, these lads really, really enjoy being... It doesn't seem a burden. In the past, the players don't seem to have really enjoyed international football, but these group of lads seem to enjoy it. And, you know, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I'm amazed, Derek, that Raheem Sterling is still only 23. I mean, we mentioned age there, but he seems to have been around for so long. He has had a lot of flack, hasn't he, from England fans as to whether he can recreate his performances for Man City in an England shirt. But that pace and finish for the first goal was absolutely superb, wasn't it?
It was. There's never been any doubt about his talent. I mean, he's always been obviously talented, but it was his end product. He just didn't have one. He put that right a little bit with Man City, and that goal, I mean, it was, you know, everybody said it was like the Michael Owen goal against Argentina that announced his international arrival. Well, maybe this has announced Sterling's arrival as a finisher, because it was great. And you know, just as important was the little tap-in he got. He wouldn't have been in that position a few years ago. There was a piece in the Mirror earlier this week that he's changed his game from a box of tricks to a fox in the box, and it looked like that. You know, he will be a regular in the England side. Whether England will thrive over the next few years remains to be seen. My guess is no, but we'll see.
I'd say and Sterling, it is when you say that, you know, he's 23, and I think on Monday he was the most experienced player, the most number of caps. I think he's got 40 odd caps. I mean, imagine, I know we play a lot of internationals now, and you know, that was Sergio Ramos's 160th game for Spain. 160 caps. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But the way Sterling's going, he could actually, considering he has been once so vilified, he could actually go on and break all records.
Mm. Yeah,
and he'll be due another couple of goals in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Andy, did you say you were there the other night?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Joe Gomez, because he's a player who's been on the fringes for a little while with Liverpool. Then he got into the team, then he got injured. He's sometimes used at right back, but playing at centre back for England, he looked completely at home against some of the best players in the world, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a centre back. He likes playing centre back, and that's his position. Simple as that. I don't think he cuts her as a right back. Yeah, I mean, he's a confident boy. I mean, talking about not getting carried away, I wasn't carried away by his performance the other night. But what I did like is that he was confident enough to get on the ball and actually step into midfield on occasions, gave it away a few times, and I think he's a really promising player. I don't think right now. I think the first choice combination is John Stones and Harry Maguire. I think Gomez is a good understudy. I wouldn't get too carried away by his performances, and obviously you'd like to see him play all the time. He's getting an opportunity to Liverpool and see him make the most of that.
Yeah, obviously, Derek, you'll have seen a fair bit of him in the last 18 months or so as well. But there's no question about it. He is a centre-back. I actually really dislike it when he plays right-back for Liverpool, because for all that he's defensively very sound, he just looks that little bit awkward, doesn't he?
Yeah, he can't use the ball. I felt the same as whenever Jamie Carragher played right-back. It always seemed to me like opposing managers allowed the ball to go to Carragher at right-back because he wasn't going to do anything with it. And it's the same with Gomez. He'll never be a full-back. He is a centre-half and a good centre-half, but it's going to take something to dislodge Stones and Maguire, because that looks like a partnership that's built to last, and two excellent footballers.
Mm. Let's talk about the Nations League as a whole then, because, Derek, I think you... What can I use? I think you scoffed at it, let's say, which sounds very much in keeping with your character when we did the podcast about 6 weeks ago. But I think that the general public are sort of warming to this, because it isn't meaningless. It's not England turning up and knocking three past Lithuania. They are games that do mean something.
Have you seen that Croatia game? Jesus, come on. No wonder no one turned up. What a pile of rubbish it was.
The
Spain game was a good one, and you probably wouldn't have got that if it was an international friendly. So in that respect, it's turned meaningless friendlies into, well, I shouldn't say meaningful friendlies because they're not friendlies. There is something at stake. What worries me about this competition? Well, firstly, it's still international football. Have you ever heard anyone ever say, oh, great, it's international week, apart from whoever's playing Scotland? It's just, you know, it's not, it doesn't float my boat. But one thing I would say, you know, I'm not, maybe I've read this competition wrong, this Nations League, but looking further down the groups when you get into the crappy teams, where's the mileage in a couple of those teams now who are playing in, say, what, League C, is it, the third one down, who can't finish top? So where's the mileage in them trying in their next game, knowing that if they lose, they'll get relegated, and next time around, if this competition lasts, they'll have a better chance of making it to a big tournament. It seems to me there's an incentive them to throw the game in the next one. Maybe I've read that wrong, but
have you found a loophole here, Derek? This is going to be the next edition of the punt, isn't it? Just you.
No, well, Derek's just the same. Derek's just the same as everyone else. Who actually, I mean, they start reading about the format and the rules and the qualification system, and basically can't be bothered to go to the very end because no one understands it. No one can really be bothered to say, I actually want to read all these things because it is so complicated on what happens. It's the idea. I mean, people are out there thinking that teams that win these groups or teams that win their tier are qualifying for Euro 2020, and that's just not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go into exactly what it means to these teams in terms of what happened, but life's too short.
Well, I mean, even Gibraltar won, didn't they?
I mean, Gibraltar won two on the spin. So they've got a rock at the heart of the defence, though, to be fair.
Look at you two fighting. You two are fighting over the same appalling joke.
Same obvious gags.
Dear me.
I'm with Jürgen Klopp, the most senseless competition in Europe, not counting the jump on Channel 4.
on a serious note, I mean, I'm amazed that they have bought into it. Derek actually mentioned that Croatia game, and when we were out there, without a doubt, the Croatians didn't really treat it as seriously as the English. And in fact, Dejan Lovren said before the game he didn't really understand. He's the same as everyone else, didn't understand what it was all about. But how can that not be good, that game away in Spain? I mean, how can it not be good having three substitutes rather than eight? And you know, would Eric Dier on Sergio Ramos have happened in a bog standard friendly? Probably not. People have bought into it. I'm surprised, but people have bought into it. And the Spanish built up to that game in the morning in the paper saying, no, come on, let's win the Nations League.
Mm. How was that a booking, by the way?
How was it a booking? It was definitely a booking.
No.
Definitely a booking. He sized them up from 20 yards and gone through him. It's the best booking ever. It was the most gloriously unnecessary piece of clattering you're ever likely to see.
If ever you're going to get
it. It should have been let off because it was Ramos.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say. You should be allowed one free hit every game. but anyway, yeah, the Nations League, on the whole, I think we're saying it's been a success then.
Yeah, listen. It has been a success. I mean, I'm joking apart. Gibraltar winning a couple of games. You know, teams playing teams of their own standard. The only thing that I don't get is that. Well, this is what will happen. It's obviously a team from the top tier will then go down, and then when the next Nations League is on, which is after Euro 2020, in that first year between tournaments. Then you know, a good team, so say Germany looks like they're going to get relegated, will then be in the same league as say whoever, Slovakia and Republic of Ireland. That's why it's important that England don't get relegated.
Yeah,
because you'll have two good friendlies. I mean, what's not like, you know? I mean, four friendlies: Croatia, Spain, home and away. They've got to be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, against that though, one thing I would say, right? Okay, you might say, well, it's great now, like little nations like Gibraltar and Liechtenstein, whatever. Now have a chance of winning games. Okay, yeah, and Gibraltar have done so, but they've beaten Armenia and somebody else, can't remember who. But ask their fans, you know, look at their fans if they've got any. Would they rather watch a game against Armenia, even a win, or lose 4-0 against England where they got Premier League players on show? I mean, I don't know, I'd suspect they'd rather watch a defeat against England.
Yeah, I guess that's the same argument for teams get small teams to get promoted to the Premier League. I mean, do Huddersfield want to see them getting, do Huddersfield fans want to see their team getting thumped by Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal every week? Or do they want to be in the Championship where they're going to win games? For 1 year, it's okay. For one season, Huddersfield fans had a great time last season. If it carries on, I suspect they'll think, you know what, it won't be that bad if we're going down to a league where at least we know we're going to have the football. I mean, you know, what's a game? I get your point, Al, but if you're watching a game where your team actually hasn't got the ball, it sort of defeats the object of the game, really.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Well, that's nice. We've ended on an agreement, which is always always pleasant on this podcast. Mr. Dunn, thank you very much for joining
pleasure.
Us. Mr. McGovern, you'll be back next week. Cheers, Dad. I'll text you later.
See you later.
See you. Mr. McGovern, you'll be back next week.
I will indeed. Cheers,
and I may be in the chair. Dave Kellner, maybe. Who knows? We'll end, as ever, with the Football League naps. Good luck with whatever it is you're back in this week. And we'll speak to you soon on the Punt Podcast.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and with the international break dead and gone, you know, for now, we return back to Championship nap action, and I'm sure you'd imagine I'd put up over 2.5 goals at 6-10 between Wigan and West Brom. I really like that bet. I think that bet's going to land. But I also like the over 2.5 goals between Ipswich and QPR. Now that's 6-5. The both teams to score in this game is 17-20. That's landed in 3 of the last 5 Ipswich Town home games. They had a 5-goal game, of course, where they conceded and scored. So the goals really in Ipswich games are piling up. QPR away matches a little low. Yes, there's that 8-goal game against West Brom, of course. But I think this has got a real makeup of two sides who are going to want to go at each other, who are going to fancy it. And I'm going to take overs, a bit of a risk here, at 6-5 in this match. There's a 2-all draw, a 5-goal game to Ipswich's most recent form. It just seems to me to make sense at odds against. So yes, Wigan, West Brom, there'll be goals there. I actually quite like Ipswich here at 7-4 as well. But my nap is going to be over 2.5 goals in the Ipswich QPR game at a princely 6-5. That's the Championship. Let's hear from Gav Puszulowski and his thoughts on League One.
All about the bees in League One for me this weekend. I could have chosen Burton at 13-10 away at Plymouth. I could have chosen Bristol Rovers at 13-10 at home to Oxford. I'm actually opposing the Bee of Bradford because they're having a very poor season. Rochdale away at Bradford seemed nice at 7-5. But my nap is the Bee of Blackpool at home to Wimbledon. Blackpool are very resolute this season. They hardly ever lose. The worst they walk away with is a draw. That's what they've been doing of late, but against much tougher opponents than Wimbledon. They've drawn away at Peterborough 2-2, drawn at home to Luton, and recently drew 2-2 at home to Rochdale in a Lancashire derby. Wimbledon, we opposed them last week. We backed Portsmouth to win there, and the nap landed. Portsmouth 1-2-1, and Wimbledon have lost 8 of the last 10 games. And last time away from home, Wimbledon lost at Plymouth. It was Plymouth's first win of the season. So to put it bluntly, if Wimbledon can lose at Plymouth, they can pretty much lose anywhere. And Blackpool evens seem a great bet for me, so they are my nap to win at home this Saturday. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
The best League Two weekend for value hunters this season. Tranmere 7-4 at Yeovil, yes please. Swindon 2-1 at home to Mansfield, hello. Inform Crewe 27-10 at Stevenage, way too big. Carlisle 13-10 odds against a Macclesfield side who still haven't won a game. Any other week, those could have been the nap, but I'm taking a bigger price than all of them because Notts County should not be 16-5 at Bury. 9th at home to 16th, you'd expect the home side to be the 4-5 that they are, but that price is wrong. Bury have been distinctly average in the last few matches. The last three have been against bottom half sides. They've not outplayed any of them. They've not won at any of them. Harry Kuehl lost his first league game in charge of Notts County, but he is unbeaten in the 5 since, winning the last 3. So they might only have 12 points in 12 games, but you can read that as 11 points from 5, 9 from the last 3. And you can also argue the draw could be a play. I'd argue the prices are just wrong, and I'm backing Notts County as this week's nap at 16-5.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.